Right, well, good afternoon. You're in afternoon church. Testing 1, 2. All good? Thank you. All right. 1 John. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to look at one verse this afternoon, verse number 15. Verse number 15. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. The Bible says there, whosoever shall confess, look at this, right? Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the day that we've had in church. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of the Spirit of God to your people. Father, we've had a big day. Truly, Lord, our cup runneth over already. And yet, Lord, we come just asking just a little bit more this afternoon that you would speak to the hearts of your people, that you would encourage us in this doctrine, teach us, conform us more to be a little bit more like Jesus, and help us to understand this doctrinal truth that is found in this verse today. We thank you, Lord. We love you. Have your will in your way with the preacher and with the message. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
So, folks, we're in the middle of one of the greatest chapters on love in the Bible. And now I know that it seems to be, over the last few weeks, it seems to be crossing over. Especially today, it's crossing over a little bit from our morning message in Ephesians. But in and of itself, that encourages me that obviously, you know, this is orchestrated by the Lord that way. He wants it crossed over. We're going to be looking at some of the same things. And I believe he's done that because there is something that he's trying to tell us. Amen? There's something that he's trying to tell our church. So I want to encourage you. I know it's a late afternoon. We've eaten. But Please try and listen. So here in our passage, John has told us that love is of God, that the love in our life does not come from us, but from God within us. And we just direct the flow, like we heard this morning as well. And he has told us that the best example of love is the Father sending the Son to the world to die for us. He then calls us to love each other like God loves. And we can do this because we have God in us, and we know that we have God in us because we have assurance provided by the Holy Spirit's presence in our life, given to us at the moment we are born again and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's by way of recap. Now, in our text, in our one verse this afternoon, John is still explaining this same thought, church, that we can love like God loves because we have God. And the encouragement is of what you heard this morning, that you are well able, you can love like God expects you to, because God is in us. And 1 John verse 4, verse 14, the verse before, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. So in the context of this, John makes two very important doctrinal statements this afternoon, church. And his purpose, I believe, humbly, it is to support the ability of God's people to love who they're supposed to love. All right, so God does this, gives us this to support you in your call to love the people in your life that you're supposed to love like he does. And the very support that God gives us for those things to be able to do that, I believe in and of themselves, they're important. Because, folks, our practice must flow from our belief. Amen? What we do has to flow from what I hold to be truth. And the way that I do that, the application of that truth, has to flow from the doctrine that God says, from how he says to do it. So for the second week in a row, well, third week in a row, because we had Brother Hustler last week, I want to examine a doctrinal truth that underlies God's call for us to love the world and the people of the world, right? Our relationship with God and all that He does hinges on one thing: our belief in and on Jesus Christ. The reality is that you will full well know that being moralism is not enough. Being the best person on the planet, it's just not going to cut it in your relationship with God. Sincerity is not enough. It doesn't matter how much you believe something to be true. If it's not truth, it's never enough. And so it goes for charity on itself is not enough. Ministry in itself is not enough. All of that and more must flow out of what we believe about the Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot flow from our own hearts, church. So let me give you some things that I think will help you this afternoon in living your Christian life. Point number one: Christianity at its root is not a what, it's a who. Now I understand that Christianity must result in a lot of what, amen? I mean, in a lot of actions. I totally get that. But our faith is not just contemplative. It's not just about, it's about thinking. It is about action. It is active as well. It is active in serving, in doing, in loving, in giving, in helping, in ministering to people, in visiting folk, in providing, in teaching, in training. Christianity, your Christianity and my Christianity should result in a lot of verbs in your life, in doing words. Doing words should describe your Christian life. Amen? But the reality is this, church, have a think about this. There are a lot of men and women, there are a lot of organizations, there are a lot of even other religions that do most of these things as well. Now, I'm not bagging them, folks. The reality is, I believe their motive to be sincere. Their methods are carefully thought out and are applied to be effective and efficient in what they do. They genuinely want to help people, and that they do. You know, you can think of charities such as the Red Cross, right? Doctors Without Borders and Habitat for Humanity and many, many other foundations and things that are out there. Their sole purpose is to help people. There are a lot of individuals. There are a lot of people that give their life to the pursuit of philanthropy. That is the pursuit of helping others, doing good to people. But these are not Christianity, even if they do similar things to the things that we do. Our Christian living must flow out of our belief in Christ, not just out of our desire to do good. Amen? Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Titus chapter 3. I'm going to get you to flip around a little bit, all right? Now, I shouldn't be too long, all right? I'm looking at the clock. Don't laugh, Rochelle, right? I'm going to try and get you out of here by at least 4 o'clock, right? Nah, my target is 2, all right? Who can hang out with me for half an hour, all right? Half an hour. Let's pray I can do this in half an hour, all right? Titus 3, verses 3 to 8. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Saviour towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through who? Jesus Christ our Saviour. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly. Look at this. That they which have believed in God might be careful to what? maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So our good works must flow from what? Believe in God. So let me say this to you. If your Christianity has not driven you to meet the needs of your church, the needs of your brethren, and the needs of your fellow man, your Christianity is practically useless, folks. If your belief in God doesn't manifest itself in some of these things, then what's it good for? But if you meet the needs of your fellow man without Christ, you are actually hurting him and hurting you both at the same time, folks. Listen, church, I am for charity, right? I am for helping the needy. I'm for service. I'm for acts of kindness. I am for doing all you can to minister to those around you. But that is not Christianity. Christianity is Christ in me, living his life through me. That is Christianity. Don't ever think that you are a born-again, Bible-believing Christian just because you live like one. The old cliche is true, folks. How long do I have to sit in my garage before I think I'm a car? It doesn't matter how long I sit in there. I'll never be that, right? Just because you do the works of Christianity because you live like a Christian doesn't mean that you're a Christian. What have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? Christianity is not measured by how closely my life resembles Christian behavior. It's measured by whether Christ himself lives in me. You can imitate Christian actions without possessing the Christian life. But you cannot have Christ without him producing his life through you. If you have Christ, he will show himself in your life somehow. Turning your Bibles to John chapter 3, I mean, I'll explain it to you anyway. I mean, my goodness, look at Nicodemus. We heard of him last weekend as well. See, Nicodemus had the what of Christianity absolutely right. Amen? That was Nicodemus. I mean, he had the morality, did he not? Nicodemus had the religion. Nicodemus had the knowledge. Nicodemus had the discipline. My goodness, Nicodemus had the reputation. Yet Jesus told him plainly, as plain as day, looked him straight dead in the eye and said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. And yet he had all these things. In other words, folks, Nicodemus had a religion about God, but he did not yet have God dwelling in him. Nicodemus was living a better life. I'd say this with all the, you know, with all the love I can muster, folks. Nicodemus was living a better life than most Christians will ever live, but without Christ. And your best life, the greatest life without Christ, still will fall short. Point two, Christianity at its root is not a religion, it's a relationship. I know, it's as cliche as it comes, amen? But it's true, folks. It's true. In the minds of most people in most places in the world, in most generations, religion is viewed as a net positive. Generally, religion is viewed as a good thing. And yes, we have had wars fought over religion, and some religions are weird, very weird. Some religions are hostile. But by and large, religion is a moderating welcome to most societies. Most of the time, religion provides a framework on which society hangs its morals on. It moves men to be charitable and to be compassionate. You know, every time I have some Jehovah's Witness come to my door, they're really nice people. Their religion moves them to be charitable and compassionate towards me. Most of the time, religion leads to lives of productivity and lives that are of stability. And these things are all good. But the problem here is that this position equates almost every and any religion equally. And so the world holds to the saying, all religions, though different, lead to the same God. Baloney, folks. That's my new word, baloney. I like that. You know the Bible doesn't teach that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but? Who said that? Jesus Christ said that. He's saying there's exclusivity to heaven. There's an exclusivity to our relationship with God, and that's through Him. We're going to read that verse a couple more times. Belief, faith is the point. Not the specifics of what you and who you believe on what. Belief itself is encouraged because it moves society in good directions overall. But biblical fundamental Christianity, listen, it is not just another religion. Folks, we are not just another group of people running around doing good works in the name of our God and to His glory. We're just not another one. No, we are believers in Christ. And our lives are a result of Him living through us. Again, at least it should be. Religion is man reaching for God through effort. And through structure. Fundamental biblical Christianity is God reaching man through His Son and then dwelling with Him. Someone said religion is two men in church thinking about fishing. Relationship is two men fishing thinking about God. That sort of cuts close to the bone between when I go riding with a bearded wonder here. You ever thought about that? Sometimes we're religious. We come to church and we talk about motorbikes. Yeah? That's religion. You know what a relationship is? When we hop on our bikes and we go to Stanwell Park with the bikes and we leave the bikes there and then we start talking about the Lord. That's relationship. You know, did you ever understand that that's why salvation is never described in the Bible as joining a system, but as entering a living relationship through the Lord Jesus Christ? Again, I just quoted a second ago. You know, Jesus didn't say, I'm going to show you a way. Jesus never said while He was on earth, I'm going to start a religion. No, He said, I am the way. I am. The person is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. Religion works from the outside in. Rules that shape your behavior and your thinking. But Christianity works from the inside out because God dwelleth in him and he in God. Amen? Point number three. Biblical fundamental Christianity is it's not just another path to God. It is an exclusive belief in the claims of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. Biblical fundamental Christianity is not just another path to God, it is an exclusive belief in the claims of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of organizations that believe, that have a faith in something. I mean, Alcoholics Anonymous, right? When you have a drinking problem, you go see these folks, they help you with, you know, not to abuse alcohol. And they have a 9-step system to sobriety. And they believe in a what? Not in God, they believe in a higher power. They have a belief in a higher being. Contemporary liberal mainline emergent churches seem to have this push for this ecumenical movement. They believe that we must all hold hands and sing Kumbaya together, regardless of what you believe. A couple of times a year, I'm invited to an interfaith prayer session, where they want me to come down as the pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church and hold hand with the Anglican minister and the Muslim cleric and the Catholic priest and the Shaolin monk and the Jehovah's Witness elder, whatever you call them. And everyone gathers in a room and they take paparazzi photos and they put them in the paper and, oh, look at them all holding hands, all praying to the same God. They have a belief. For the third time, Jesus said, I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What issue do I have having to go to and hold hands with a man of faith who doesn't even believe in the Savior I have trusted in? What business do I have doing that? Because the reality is, as the title of the message says, folks, if I don't have Christ and Christ alone, I don't have God. And the reality is, I cannot get God any other way. We read it 3 times. I mean, think of those passionately sincere and zealous Jews of Jesus' day. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. If I don't have Christ and Christ alone, I don't have God. Let me add to that. Jesus plus something equals no God as well. It's Jesus Christ alone. So in Acts chapter 4, verse number 10, it says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Oh, I love this. Look at it, verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And to that I say amen. Amen? Without that cornerstone of Jesus Christ, folks, I don't care what religion you follow, without that cornerstone of Christ and Christ alone, there is no foundation. Without that foundation, there is nothing of lasting value built into your life or mine either. If Jesus is not exactly who he claimed to be, folks, then Christianity, biblical Christianity, it just collapses. But if he is who he said he is, then there's no other way to God can exist. You do not add Christ to other paths. You either stand on him alone or you have no standing before God at all. Jesus Christ's own words, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. 1 John 2:23. Paul himself declared in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 11, for other foundation can no man lay than is laid. How does that verse finish? Which is Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation. Point number 4. One of the devil's subtlest strategies is to promote a belief in and appreciation for religion without 100% belief in Jesus Christ alone. I believe throughout the ages that has been the devil's greatest victory. Religion that teaches you that Jesus Christ plus something equals salvation. One of the devil's subtlest strategies is to promote a belief in and an appreciation for religion that without 100% belief in Jesus Christ alone, right? The devil doesn't even care if you include Jesus Christ in it, folks, just as long as you don't then exclude everything else. He doesn't care if you tack Jesus onto the side of your religion as long as you don't get rid of the other stuff. I mean, just like the Mormon church, right? The Church of Latter-day Saints. They include Jesus Christ into their science fiction of a religion. I mean, fair dinkum, we've studied that in Sunday school. It sounds more like an episode of Star Trek than it does a faith. You can become you can become your own little G, your own little God, like the one that you worship, eventually having your own planet to rule with all your wives who will then be making spirit babies for all the other planets, and they call themselves Christians. I mean, fair dinkum, folks. And yet they teach and they live and they promote moral aspects of your Bible. Religion makes men good. And good men are harder to get into heaven than bad men. And the devil is fully aware of it. Point number five. The clearest message and highest aim as a church then must be the simple gospel, folks. That's our aim, the simple gospel. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and where ye stand. It says in verse number 2. By which also ye are what? Ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Folks, that's what we got to preach. That's what we got to hold to, the simple gospel. We must preach Christ and hold dearest to things like the virgin-born Christ, the literal Christ, the incarnate Son of God. We don't believe that Jesus came as a spirit, as a formation. No, he was a literal, carnal, flesh and blood man. He was also the sinless Christ, a divine Christ, a Christ who died vicariously for my atonement, a Christ who literally rose from the dead, a Christ who saves me all by himself. But I hold dearest to and especially an exclusive Christ, Christ alone, plus nothing. And the devil is perfectly content with religion that improves men as long as it never brings them to Christ. The devil is completely happy with religion that makes men better as long as they're never born again by the Spirit of God. Because morality can clean the outside while leaving the inside soul lost as. Therefore, our highest calling as a church is not to promote our religion. It's not to reform society or preach self-improvement, but to proclaim the simple, exclusive gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Crucified, buried, risen, and coming again. And folks, all sufficient by himself. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord. And God's people said, amen. Folks, if you don't have Christ, you don't have God. No matter how nice, no matter how sweet, no matter how good, no matter how charitable you are, you don't have God if you don't have Christ. The world does not need our good works, though we need to do them. The world needs our message, the gospel. Our message then must be Christ and Christ alone. If you don't have Christ, you don't have God. So, church, this brings us to a very personal place. The question that I want to leave you this afternoon is not, am I religious? Not, do I live a decent life? Not, do people see me as a good Christian? The simple question is simply this: do I have Christ, and does Christ have me? It is possible to admire Jesus without believing him. It is possible to respect Jesus without trusting him. It is possible to talk about Jesus without actually confessing him. John says plainly, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. No Christ, no indwelling. No indwelling, no real love. No real love, no true Christianity. And for us as a church, our challenge, folks, is just as clear. We must never replace the gospel with activity. Amen? Or conviction with compassion alone. Never replace Christ with a cause. Folks, obviously, we labor. We should do good works. But we must never let good works become our message. Amen? Our message is Christ alone. Crucified for sinners, buried in a borrowed tomb, raised bodily from the dead, and sufficient to save completely. So here is the last challenge and I'm done. If you are trusting anything alongside Christ, anything that you added to your faith apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you, let it go. Let it go. If you have been living a Christian life without Christ at the center, then Christian, then repent of that and return to Christ and Christ alone. And if God has placed you where you are, go forth and speak truth for him. Open your mouth and give them Christ. Amen? Because there is no God without Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this afternoon humbled and thankful. Thank you that you did not leave us to find you through religion, through effort, or even through goodness, Lord, but that you sent your Son to be the Savior of the world. And Lord, we pray that you would search our hearts this Arvo. If there is anyone here who has been trusting in religion, in morality, in sincerity, or works, Lord, I pray you would strip that away and bring them to Christ and Christ alone. Help them to be saved and be saved today, Father. Lord, we pray that you'd help us not to settle for appearing Christian while missing Christ himself. And for us as a church, give us clarity, Lord. We pray that you'd give us courage. Help us to love people deeply. Help us to serve faithfully. And help us to live godly lives, but never at the expense of the gospel, Lord. Father, we pray that you will keep Christ at the center of all that we say and do and preach and serve, at the center of all that we believe, and at the center of all that we do. And may we be a people in whom you dwell and through whom, Lord, your love flows until others see Christ in us and come to that wonderful, wonderful knowledge for themselves. And we commit this heart's desire to you in Jesus' precious name, and all of God's people said, amen.